So let's go ahead and start with prayer. Father, we just come before you, and I just want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity to just share your truth, Lord, and share life experiences that have brought me through, and you have given me hope. And so, Lord, I just pray that right now as I open up my mouth that you would fill it, Lord, that you would just anoint me with all the gifts that you have poured upon me that I need, Lord, to spread forth the gospel, Lord. And so we just, again, want to praise you and thank you. And if you need to change anything or do anything differently, Lord, you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Oh, is it? It's not loud enough? Okay. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Perfect. All right. Okay, so I just wanted to tell you a little bit about myself and tell you that my name is Carmen Morales, in case you might. Some of you, I haven't seen you in so long. My husband pastors North Park Christian Fellowship, which is Horizon North Park, and we came out of Horizon many, many moons ago, and so we're serving the Lord there under the umbrella and of Horizon Christian Fellowship here. So I have been married for 36 years. Next month, it'll be 36 years. And they're consistent. No, just like she said. which is a big story on hope and miracle in itself, which hopefully if we have time, I'll get to share that too. But I did want to, after maybe I share a little bit at the end, have some questions and answers, or maybe you might have something that will help someone else, because I always love when we all, come together and share with one another. And I was able to do that one other time. So if it works, fine. If it's not enough time, then we'll just move forward, because I do want to make sure that you're on that last teaching on time. So let me see. Me and my husband have three children, and they're all married. And so we have, which makes six grandchildren. And we did start our lives very young, just like, it's so funny because Sandy just kind of gave my message, and then June gets up there and gives part of my message. And so I'm like, oh, okay, then I don't have to do any of it. No. So I also got married young, and I had a lot of people tell me not to get married because it wasn't going to work and it's not going to happen and you guys are way too young and on and on. And yet we accepted the Lord right at that point, and the Lord is faithful, and there is always hope in the Lord. And so that's what I wanted to share with you guys too. We have had our three children come through Horizon School. My kids are considered alpha and omegas from the beginning to the end. They came through the preschool all the way to 12th grade. And I've worked actually at Horizon Elementary for over 25 years, which seems really crazy when I think about it. Probably more years than some of you here. Some of you are 25 or less. But so I've been with part of Horizon and, serving the Lord here and in the school. And it's kind of crazy because now I see the kids that I minister to now, their parents, their kids are coming. So it's like that next generation is coming through, and I'm still there. So that's where the Lord has me. So, but one of the things, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. See, very good. She knows how to do all that with mics. Okay. So now it's like right there in front of me, but that's okay. I did want to share with you guys a little bit about, can you guys hear me? Is it better? 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 Okay. Well, one of the things that I really thank the Lord about, and it's kind of funny because it's kind of been the theme that I heard through Sandy and through June, but I just totally thank God for when he brought me to this church with Sandy and Mike, that they were kind of the foundation, that the Lord blessed us to be able to be rooted and grounded in a church that teaches God's word and that is faithful to the ministry. So we are so blessed to have Mike and Sandy, and then now Philip and Bethany. They are just, I can't even tell you how commendable it is because of their faithfulness in the Lord. And I know it's God that gives them the strength, but they still are obedient to the call. And so the way that my husband became the pastor about 3 years ago, or maybe four now, I lose count. It's a whole different ballgame when you are assistant pastors for 20-something years, and then, bam, the Lord puts us in a ministry that then he starts being the senior pastor. And I've looked at Sandy and went, how have you done this? This is crazy. So anyway, it's a whole different thing, but our pastor kind of made some choices that he resigned and that were not what the Lord would have him to do, and so that's where we're at now. And so that's where God has been giving us the hope to continue on and to just different trials that go through. And I'm sure you have your story and I have mine. And so we'll be able to share that with one another. So I just praise God that I was rooted here in the Word of God in this church, and that now I can pass it down to my children and my children's children because of that. And you deal with so many different people, and I'm sure here too, that there's so many winds of doctrine going on that people come in and don't know the truth because they're not in the Word of God, or they're hearing, like June said, about the philosophies and just so many things that are going out there with the New Age and just crazy stuff going on. And, you know, I, of course, was going to mention about the beheaded person and, you know, just how sad that is, that this is in our society and that it's just, you know, happening, and it's so hard to believe, and it's horrible, and how much we need to pray for our nation, and how much we need to pray for those that are hurting, like we've been praying for Saeed, and we had that prayer at our church yesterday, just like you guys had that here. So I'm blessed to have that firm foundation and that anchor that has been for my soul in the faithfulness of those that have stuck with the ministry and stuck with what God has called them to do. As you know, this workshop is rooted in hope in the midst of trials. And my question on the bottom was, how rooted are you in the midst of suffering, pain, and tears, and fears? And how do you look to the one who gives us the hope and the courage to see beyond every storm? And so, of course, I wanted this to be this cutesy little, you know, outline and all the different things. You know how Sandy always does the letters that match and all this stuff. And it's so cute. And I wanted to do all these things. And I've been studying. I studied as much as I possibly can after working and everything like that. But I did all this study. I'm so tired of trees, I'll tell you, and roots and leaves and soil and sun and water and all those things that make them grow and how they're deeply rooted and everything. And I'm just like, if I have to read about another tree. But it was fun because, yes, you do relate it, and they did a fantastic job of doing that. But I wanted to do this handout and all these things, but it was just crazy. It was just an absolute crazy August and September because, one, it's the busiest time of the year in a school. So, you know, we were super busy, and it's been one thing after another. My computer got a virus, of course, and my printer broke this morning and wouldn't print any of my stuff last night. So I had to go to the elementary school, try to stick it in there and put the whole thing, and it was crazy. But anyway, it gets, you know, God's faithful and he gets us through. And then, of course, I'm sure many of you knew Jen Eldridge, who was a dear friend of mine, and she went home to be with the Lord in August, and that was just such a very hard, heart-wrenching thing. And every day I see her little guy when JD brings Daniel, and he gives me a hug, and I give him something to eat or a candy, and he's just, every time I hug him, I just know I'm hugging part of my dear friend. And we prayed and prayed, and we went to the hospital many, many nights and many days, and prayed with her, but you know, the Lord, it says that when he begins a work, he's faithful to complete it, and when they go home to be with the Lord, I guess the work is completed. And so that's where our hope is, that the work is completed. She was perfect, and he took her, and we're going to see her again. So it's hard for us that stay behind, though, right? So let's see. Not to mention that I've been having gallbladder issues, and I've been having all these episodes happening, and I've had to go to the doctor, and I almost called, well, I did call two of my ladies at church and say, if I can't make it, you have to be a backup for this workshop. So I called Allison, and I told her I have two women, that they're going to be ready and all that, and then I started feeling better, and then I told them, I said, oh, I'm getting sick again. This week has been really bad, and I've had episodes, and they're doing all these test to see if I need it out because my liver counts are super high, but not at a danger point, I think. Who knows? They never know, right? So they just said, no, you're better. You'll be fine. They don't want to do it. So I'm like, okay. So the Lord is our strength, and he is definitely a hope in times of trials, right? So it's evident that trials are inevitable, right? You're either going to come out of a trial, you're either going to go in a trial, or you're in one. They're just part of life. We know that. And that is going to happen. And some of them are tougher than others. And you just have to rely, and that's what we're going to talk about. So who do you go to when you're going through these things? How do you find that hope where there is no hope in you? I asked a friend of mine, I had been meeting with her lately, and it was just ironic that I'm doing this on hope. Well, she was going through a really hard time, a lot of depression, just overwhelmed with darkness, and I just said, what is going on? What do you, she even was actually feeling suicidal, and my heart was just hurting for her, and I said, oh, then you're perfect. You're my workshop. Tell me, what do you need? What do you, you know, how do you get this hope, and what are you feeling? And she just told me that a lot of times when you're in that place that you feel completely hopeless, and that you feel so depressed that you don't even see past the darkness, and that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you feel like there's no way out. You feel trapped. These are the words that she actually shared, because I wanted to know specifically, how do you feel when it's a hopeless situation? And she said, it just feels like it's impossible to fix it. You feel anguish, and it's never going to change. And so you lose that hope. So then it was interesting, because then I was showing her the word and giving her these scriptures that, you know, I was looking up on hope, and she was reading them to me, and then that hope was coming back. And so I just said, that's it. The Lord is our hope. And you, you lose that hope because so many things come in, and sometimes it may not even be things. It just may be your chemicals or something going on, and so you just have to keep looking and looking. And if anybody feels like you just can't go on, or you have no hope, or you're in a hopeless situation, please talk to somebody. Don't ever leave feeling like there's no hope, because there is hope. No matter what the situation, there is hope. In Jeremiah 17:7-8, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. So the hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. If you trust in the Lord and your hope is in the Lord, it says your hope is the Lord. So you'll be like that tree. You'll feel watered. You will start spreading out your roots. And like Sandy said, which was, I had the redwoods. She had sequoias. I had the redwoods, that those roots just, you know, blend in together, and that's how they find their strength. That's how they stay strong when those winds and those storms and all those things come on their paths. And, you know, we just had that windstorm, and you saw all those trees. I don't know if you saw it on the news, but they were all broken over, and a lot of them were eucalyptus. At the elementary school, we actually had a whole tree fall over, and it just, because the roots get so weak, because they're so surfacey with eucalyptus trees, that they just fall over. And I have one right next door to my neighbors, and he's been saying, you need to chop that down. And I'm like, I know, I will. We won't let it fall on your house, I hope. So I said, if you pay for half of it, I'll get it done right away. So that's what the Lord wants us to do. And, you know, I went to this other friend of mine's house, and she was telling me about this tree, and she showed me this beautiful tree, and it has these huge leaves, and it's really perfectly round, and it just looks super healthy. And she was in her bedroom, and she shows me outside her window, and she goes, look at that tree, isn't it beautiful? I'm like, yeah, that's so nice. And then she goes, well, in January, when I looked out, that whole top of the tree was chopped off. The only thing that was there was the trunk. And I said, oh, wow. And she said, and she was devastated because that was such her beautiful view of this tree across the street. And so she went and asked the neighbors, why did you chop that tree? What are you doing? And they said that every year they chop it in January. And by this time, it all flourishes. And it's that same tree. And it's amazing how beautiful it was when she told me just in January how much it was chopped down. And I just was thinking about how so much of our lives, you know, sometimes we do get chopped down. Sometimes we're all the way to the bare trunk, just the very edge, but yet it will flourish with the water and the soil and the sun and everything. It will flourish. So he has a purpose for the things that happen in your life. Purpose for failures, for successes, purpose for the highs and the lows, purpose for your stumbling or your restorations, and purpose for pain and suffering. Some of you have had pains in your lives, maybe lots of fears and tears. God wants you to know that he sees every tear and he cries along with you. And as a matter of fact, as the word says, he holds them in a bottle. He has all your tears in a bottle. Maybe you have sickness or you lost a loved one and it hurts so much. Maybe it's a mother who children are no longer walking with the Lord. Maybe you have a prodigal. I know I had a prodigal for years, a couple of them. First my son and then my daughter. But it was such a blessing because my daughter-in-law, who my son married, praise God, she has been that one of those flourishing trees that the Lord blessed us with. And she was not a believer, and he, you know, got involved with her and everything. And so it was a really tough time because he knew the word. He's been brought up. My husband's a pastor. We've been a pastor, so he's a PK kid. You know, you should know this stuff. And so, but yet, life happens, right? And, but God is so faithful. He is so faithful. Because my daughter-in-law gave her life to the Lord, of course. They went forward and, you know, the whole thing, shebang, that goes with all that. And she said, when she started learning about the Lord, one of her words was to me was, I can't believe he knew all this and he chose what he chose. You know, it's so funny because, you know, sometimes it takes somebody that doesn't know about the Lord to give enlightened things once they come to Jesus. And so she has been like the lifesaver of just, she's like a jewel, a treasure. And so there's hope if your kids are not walking with the Lord or they're not making the best choices. God has a way of turning it around. I tell you, I love that Moms in Touch because I prayed for that kid for a long time. And so I was like, Lord, thank you, because they are serving the Lord. They do our youth ministry. They're the youth leaders. And it's just incredible how God has turned the whole thing around and used it for his glory. Let's see, how about praying for that unsaved husband? I have a friend that we've been praying for her husband, and she prayed for him for 20 years, and he not just recently came to know the Lord. And so he's coming to Bible studies, and he wants to go, and it's so neat to see the faithfulness of a wife that has labored in praying for him and has gotten that hope from the Lord and is able to see the fruit of her labor. So praise God, and we're able to see it with her. So there's just so many things. There's so many different people that are struggling. You know, like I mentioned, you know, just the hopes and just the just how hard it is to see even a husband maybe walk away from the Lord or a spiritual leader walk away from the Lord. That is heart-wrenching because it's like, what is going on? Why, you know, and you just can't believe sometimes. Or how about all the struggles that the kids are dealing with that are being molested, or maybe you've been molested, or maybe you've had issues in your life. I know I had some situations where I saw things that I should not have had to see as a young child because somebody was acting dumb, bottom line. And so you have scars and physical emotions, and you have to go to the Lord and say, "You are my hope. I know I went through this, but you are my hope." Or you know somebody, or I've been dealing with a youth girl that was completely molested, and just trying to give her the hope that God has for her through scripture, through fellowship, through there's always a way out. There's always that hope. So where do we find that hope? But God, right? Our hope is in God. God is Psalms 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So a refuge is, it provides protection. It's a shelter from the danger or the hardships or those hard winds, if we're relating it to a tree. But it's a place where one can go for help, relief, escape. Who among us doesn't seek a refuge for daily harassments and stresses of life, right? You will find safety and courage by trusting in Him who is always present through all the storms. So He has a place for each and every single one of us, no matter what you're going through. Well, also, June took my line about my husband on March 8th had a heart attack. And he, so here we are. I know, isn't that crazy? So he had a heart attack on March 8th, and we were at my son's birthday party, and we were all barbecuing, and my son, it seems like he's a little guy, but he's 36, but we hit 35, but he'll be 36. So we're having a barbecue. My husband's barbecuing everything, and he's like, "Oh, I don't feel very good." And I'm like, "Really? Oh, well, let me clean the kitchen with my daughter," because we had it at her house, "and let me clean." And I'm putting him off, you know, just thinking it's nothing. And he just didn't feel good. And he didn't have chest pains, which is really weird, but he just had like a heaviness. And he said his he felt like he had indigestion, so, which I know that happens. So I go home and rush him to the hospital, and, you know, I told him, "Okay, let's go." And of course, he fought me, and just like her husband. And then we went ahead and went. And then when we're sitting there, you know, you don't even think that this is happening. You're just like, okay, they're doing all this test. He probably has, you know, acid reflux or something. And so then they told us that. He's like, "How long is this going to take? I have to preach tomorrow, you know, and I have to go and all this." And then the doctor comes in and says, "Mr. Morales, you are not preaching tomorrow. You are having, either you had a heart attack or you're having a heart attack right now. We're admitting you right this minute because we don't know what's going to be next. You may have another one." And so we were just looking at each other like, "Okay, call everybody at church. Let me find some," you know, we're like, "Get prayer," you know. And so we're just like all going crazy and just thinking, "Oh my goodness, what's going on? You know, what's happening?" And so you just look at it. And I remember leaving the hospital, and he, you know, he had to do the stent. He had clogged arteries too, and all that. I tell you, those pastors, they leave and then they go out to eat all the time, or they get fast foods because they're so busy, and then they get clogged arteries. And so, because I feed them good, okay, don't think that I do the salads and the vegetables, and he doesn't usually, you know, listen to that. But anyway, and I do make a lot of Mexican food though, lots of cheese, so that's the problem, right? So but I do remember that, you know, I didn't know what was up ahead. I didn't know what would happen. And we just, like a year before that, a dear friend and person in our church, we went to go visit him one night, and the next night we went to visit him in the hospital, and the next night he had a heart attack and he was gone. And that dear friend of ours that's still in our church, that I always, you know, tell her, "How are you getting through this? How are you getting, you know," because she knew I'm doing this thing on hope. And she said, "I just know that the Lord is with me, and He will never leave me, and He will never forsake me. And I just hang on to that. And I just saturate myself in God's word." And that is the key. Because, of course, I went to talk to her after all this happened. And, you know, I was talking to her, and I said, "I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know what's tomorrow." And, you know, so, of course, we just prayed. And the Lord's not done with Stevie. He's still, he's okay. He, you know, he just right away started going back to church and doing the sermons and all that, just like her husband. And I think they just grained that way. But so Psalms 135 was a very strength for me. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word I do hope. So when I got home from the hospital that night and left Stevie at the hospital, and I came home and nobody was there because all my kids are gone, and I was there by myself, and I just knew, I was scared, because when you're hit with the life's, you know, threatening situation, you're just like, I don't know what tomorrow holds, you know. But I tell you, our strength is in the Lord. You have to go to the Lord. It is so important. Just like what Sandy and everybody said, you got to go into the Word when things hit you, when things, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Just go to God. And I just got into my bed, and I just like, it's like you cuddle with him. And I just got in his arms, and I just got in his promises, and I put worship music on and just saturate myself in the Lord, because that is where you're going to get your strength. And you don't, and you know that whatever's up ahead, he will give you the strength for it. And so one of the things that I was going to bring out to really quick, but I'm just going to paraphrase it, but I'll give you the scripture so you could read through this, because it is so, I just love these verses. But there's three stories of women that God gave them hope in a hopeless situation. And one of them is Genesis 16, 6 through 16, and it's about Hagar. And it's Genesis 16, 6 through 16. And it's the story about when, you know, she was pregnant with the boy, with Ishmael, and she's out in the desert, and she's leaving because Sarah kind of was treating her badly, because, you know, the whole thing with the sibling rivalry, because she's going to have a baby and the whole thing. And I want to give some time for question and answer, so that's why I'm going to just kind of paraphrase it. But anyway, so she's out in the wilderness, and the angel comes to Hagar, and one of the things that I will just share that she says that I just absolutely love is that because the Lord has heard your affliction, he shall be with you, and he will make your descendants great, even if we know what Ishmael's all about, but the whole situation there. But what I wanted to say was that the Lord heard her affliction. He heard her cry, and she wasn't even a believer. She didn't even know the Lord because she was Egyptian. And so I just thought, gosh, if somebody that doesn't know the Lord and God sees her and sees her affliction, how much more for his children does he see us? And she named that place, "You are the God who sees." And so we know that that is one of God's names, Roy, you know, and so he is the God who sees. So whatever you may be going through with crying out or just struggles or whatever, he sees everything. And then the other one is Mark 5, 25 through 34 is the woman with the issue of blood. And then we hear, well, I'm going to go ahead and read that one. It says, "And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. It's Mark 5, 25 through 34. "And now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I could touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her blood, in her body, that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman was fearing and trembling, and knowing that what had happened to her, and she fell down before him, and he told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So what I wanted to share with that one was that he saw her affliction, and yet he touched her. well, she actually touched him, and in that touching, he received that. And, you know, when I think about how she had to go to a place where she had to touch him, she was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be allowed around people. She wasn't supposed to be allowed in the crowd, and yet she just wanted to touch his garment. And so many times, maybe you're dealing with so many situations that all you just want to do is just touch his garment. It's like the little kids when you tell them don't touch, and then they just keep touching and keep touching. You know, it's like that. It's like, just touch him, just, you know, go out, reach out, and just touch him wherever you're at, because he will heal you. He will touch you. He will give you that strength and that hope in those times of trouble and times of trials. The other woman was the sinful woman that was at Jesus' feet, and that one's Luke 7:36 through 50, and she was wiping her tears with her hair as she sat at his feet. And then the Pharisee, of course, you know how he's always saying, oh, he doesn't know who she is because she's such a sinful woman, and she's over here touching his feet and touching it with her, using all that alabaster oil to touch him, and it's so expensive and all this and that. But then Jesus just looked at him and said, you haven't done anything. She has greeted me. She has touched me. She has kissed me. And you haven't done anything. You haven't even washed my feet, and she washes it with her tears. So her heart was better than his heart, obviously, because she was so humbled. And so sometimes you might have some sins or some situations in your life that you feel like you cannot overcome, like you can't get through it. You can't stop drinking, or you can't stop using drugs. Even prescription drugs could be such a hard thing that I have been dealing with. A lot of women that are on prescription drugs that can't seem to get off of them. And I know sometimes we do need them and we use them, and I see my husband on heart medication all the time, so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about certain things that sometimes you don't need, but you just do, you know. And so God wants to show us that if you just touch him, touch his garment, he will give you the strength. He will heal you. He will give you that hope that you need in that trying time. So we have Hagar, and she cried out to him, and he's the God who sees. We have the woman with the blood, issue of blood, and she touched him, and his power went to her because she took action and touched him. We see the sinful woman that she was, she had, God bless you, she had such a heart, and she had such a humbleness about her, and she wanted that forgiveness, and he forgave her, and he anointed her, and she anointed him because of it, because of her anointing, that he anointed her with that healing of that sin. So that just brings me so much hope. It just brings me that we have to ingrain ourselves, like they were talking about in those studies, that we have to ingrain ourselves with God's truths. We have to make them part of our lives. We have to sit at God's feet. Like, I mean, it's such a blessing. You know, you just hear those truths that Sandy and June are saying about there is no other way right now in this world that we're going to be able to be overcomers unless we're saturated in God's word and we're rooted with each other, because we're the strength for one another. Like she said about the redwoods or sequoias, that's how they stand strong, is because their roots are intertwined, and that's how they are able to withstand all those struggles and all those storms and all that. And that's what we need to be for one another. And I know sometimes we get busy and we're in our own world, but there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. I just met with someone, that a little girl, that she's going into college. She just got out of high school at Point Loma. She was put in Children's Hospital because she's constantly throwing up. She has anorexia. And I've just been praying for her. And I meet with her grandmother, and we pray and pray and pray. So there is hope. There's hope. And you'd get it, and we're going to get it through the prayer time that she's going to go over with that. But it's so important that we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. We pray for our people in our church, the women that you're in your Bible study. You hear prayer requests, write it down. I know so many times we don't have time to pray them all, but you know what? Ask the Lord to put those on your heart, because sometimes you may be praying for someone that just may be ready to throw up, that has anorexia, and you're going to pray for them. and you're going to get them through. You're going to be that strength that will help, you know, that, you know, how the Lord works with all of us, because we are God's people and we just need to be there for one another. And so there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of struggles. We're in North Park and there's some crazy things going on in North Park right now, let me tell you. And it is real evident when you're there on a Friday night or on a Saturday night. It is crazy. And so there's a lot of stuff that needs prayer. I mean, we're walking around the city and doing prayer and prayer and prayer and prayer, because that is the key to breaking those chains that are so tightly fit there. So my you have to be willing to look for that hope, right? You can't just say, okay, there's hope, and then not do anything with it. We have to do something. You know, I was going to get into the worship is the trees that clap their hands, but Sandy took that one. The word is the soil, the deep roots, the water flowing rivers. Jesus is that sun, that light. The restorer and the repairer of our lives is the Holy Spirit, and how he works with us, went in us, and upon us. That was part of my study, too. Beyond the storm, there is hope. Beyond any storm, you just have to remember that there is hope no matter what you're going through. And no matter how hard it looks, like your marriage is not going to make it, if you could just get past that horrible hump sometimes, there is light at that end of the tunnel, and then you'll just be so blessed that you hung on and stuck with it. You'll be so blessed that you hung on and stuck with it with your children to see that, because then they have that same perseverance and help. But I know sometimes different situations are difficult, but that's why we have each other. Talk to somebody. Go to a women's Bible study. I tell you, when I started at North Park Theater, when Horizon used to be there, I was 17 years old, and I had my baby in a stroller. And I thought, I'm going to try this Bible study thing. I didn't really know how to do it, and I didn't know what to do. And I went with my stroller. I went into they had an education building, which is where our church is, and they were across the street from the theater. And I go in, and I saw these ladies, and I was young, and to me, they looked really old. And now I'm the old one. That's how they're looking at me. But anyway, so I went in, and I looked at all these ladies, and I'm like, oh, these are all older ladies. I don't want to be in here. And then I turned around, and I started leaving. And I'll never forget this one woman. She was sitting out there, and she was involved in the ministry. She was Rick Hobson's wife, and that was way back in the day. But she came, and she followed me. And I was like trying to hurry so she wouldn't follow me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I was really scared. I never had gone to a women's Bible study. And that was my first take a step of faith. And she came after me, and she walked with me to the small group. She took me in. She talked to me. She said, nobody's going to, you know, look at you differently or anything like that. It's okay. And she walked with me, and she sat in the small group with me, and she invested that time. And then I started coming, and I came back, and I came back, and then it was history. Then you just start going to church more, and, you know, and it's just such a blessing. So if you're not involved in a women's study, I'll tell you, that is such a foundation in your walk with the Lord, because you get so much strength from one another, like we talked about the trees. So my study is done, and I just wanted to encourage you, and just, I can't stress enough how there is hope. And if you're struggling with a situation that you feel like, I can't talk to anybody, find a leader in your women's group or in your church and talk to them. Because even if it's just one person, if you don't have to tell everybody, you just could tell one person. Sometimes they could just pray you through it, or they could just be a hug for you, or a prayer, or just guiding you with the right counsel, or whatever it may be. So just want to encourage you that there is always hope in the Lord, because he is our hope. He's our anchor. He is the source of the roots and everything that we've been talking about. So let's go ahead and end in prayer. Lord, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord, and that there is hope in you. And it's all about you, Lord, that you give us the strength to continue on. We thank you, Father God, for this church. We thank you for Horizon, Lord, who has been a pillar for so many, and the Calvary Chapel movement, pillar for so many, Lord. And we continue on, and we just keep passing that baton, Lord, to that next generation, the next generation, Lord. Till you tarry, Lord, may we be about your remnant, Lord. May we be so deeply rooted that we have those roots in you, Lord. Water us, fill us, shine upon us. Do whatever storms may come our way, may we just hang on to you so closely, Lord. It's just like I always think of hug a tree. If you're lost, you hug a tree. And Lord, we just need to hug you as you are the main root, Lord. We again want to praise you and thank you. And I just pray for each and every single woman that you would just bless them, go before them, Lord. Just help them with whatever situation. We all have our own trials and our own life situations. And I just pray that you would be their strength, that you would help them to know how to go to you and you only. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, we only have 3 minutes, but does anybody want to have anything to share or have any